1992. I'm in the home of Sam Crowder on Mount Pleasant Road.
Okay, Uncle Sam. Now we can start.
All right.
And you can just talk. You have a nice voice that'll carry easily, I think. So we don't.
You're seeing this thing. You put it back on me.
I decided not to because somehow I think that's interfering with our tape recording. It shouldn't be, but I think it is. Now I've lost my pen. Boy, I'm telling you, your niece here is real organized, isn't she? Mm-mm-mm. What did I do with it?
I don't know.
Well?
You didn't set this on it, did you?
No, I don't know what I did. I'll run out to the car and get it real quick. Okay, let's start out with your birthday.
Which, my birthday?
Your birthday.
I was born November the 22nd, 1922.
And where were you born?
In Ohio County.
On a farm?
Yes.
And where was the farm located?
About a quarter of a mile south of the Western Kentucky Parkway.
And let's see, the names of your mom and dad?
Esri C. Crowder.
What's the C stand for?
Just initial.
Oh.
And Susan Emlis Crowder. Married Susan Emlis Taylor before she married.
How do you spell Emlis?
E-M-U-L-O-U-S.
Susan Emlis Crowder.
Hmm. She was Taylor before she married.
Susan Emlis Taylor?
Mm-hmm. Crowder. Taylor.
Taylor was her maiden name?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And she was from this area? Also,
ma'am.
Was she from Ohio County?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Lived right there close to the farm where I was born. Joining farm.
Okay, and your dad was from Ohio County?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's all from the Mount Pleasant.
How long have the Crowders been in this county?
All their life.
Well, would you say 100 years, 120 years, or?
Grandpa Crowder's daddy, he owned the farm. Oh, it's over there by the Western Kentucky Parkway, west of 505. I never did see him. Grandpa Crowder, that's where he was raised, and he bought the farm over there across the road.
Now, Grandpa's
Thomas
first
Franklin.
Name is Thomas Franklin. That's who you're named after?
Mm-hmm. That's named for him and my mother's daddy, Samuel.
And his name was Samuel Taylor?
Mm-hmm.
All right. How many children were in your mom and dad's family?
You mean how many children they had?
Yes.
Four.
And their names?
Irene Taylor Crowder. She died at 18 months of age.
What happened to her?
Diphtheria.
Goodness.
And Isri Kenneth Crowder.
Okay.
Samuel Thomas Crowder.
Okay.
Maddie May Crowder.
Maddie?
Mm-hmm. M-A-T-T-I-E. May.
Okay, now who was the oldest?
Irene.
Were they in the order you gave them to me in age?
Mm-hmm.
Was Kenneth next?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then the order you gave them?
Yeah.
Okay. And how much education do you have, Uncle Sam?
Eighth grade.
Okay.
Gonna learn a whole lot from start back in the prim.
I wouldn't doubt that. And let's see. You went to church all your life at Mount Pleasant?
Mm-hmm. That's where I'm a member. Of course, now, other old churches around, I'd go to them too, but mm-hmm. this was the home church.
Your home church. Okay. When was the church founded?
1840.
And was it at the same location?
They started the church, had a brick arbor meeting. It's on this farm over here. And down there close to a spring, what they call a crumbly spring. And they had, I reckon, a revival there, the way I understood it. And then after that, they decided to build a church. And they picked up there on the hill there, Mount Pleasant. Called it Mount Pleasant. Methodist
in
Church.
Mount Pleasant Methodist. Now in those days, all these people around here were farming for a livelihood. How were they?
That's about all it was then.
Were there many people in the church then?
No, I don't guess it was, but I never did hear that said.
Don't know.
Okay. When did the singing get so important at that church?
Now, I guess that was 1910. That's when they selected Dad for teacher, the leader.
Now, before your dad was selected as the leader, he was a member of the church?
I guess he was, but for us knowing, I don't know if I ever heard that said.
And then he was selected to be the leader. Now, what does that mean? What did he do?
Well, he had to pitch the song and get the right key to it. And he's standing up there over the choir, leading. And they all of them followed him.
Then, now this was what happened every time you had church. He was the song leader,
mm-hmm.
right?
If something happened, he wasn't there. Well, now, in 1910, Alfred Stewart taught a singing school there. In his last lesson, he said, "This is my last day down here, but I'll come back when I can." But today is the time for y'all to select a leader. And said, I'll come every chance I have and help y'all with it. And someone nominated Dad, Asher Crowder. And somebody else nominated Conley Parks, that's Lovis' brother. And then they had each ones that wanted Asher Crowder to hold up their hand. One wanted Conley Parks to hold up their hand. And Dad got one more vote than Conley got. And I've heard him tell that no telling of times, and he'd been a battling on with him ever since. And he went ahead and laid there till, I guess it's, I think it's 1975 on it, up there on the wall.
My goodness, that's a long time.
He got the word that, well, maybe aim to sing one song and probably get turned to it, turn the book to it, and maybe sing one verse in there, and this next verse he'd come back on a different song. Bobby Kane got the leading. He got to where he couldn't see too good, so he just had to give his the singing up. Bobby King, they built a new church, this one that's up there now. And Bobby, he won, said he wanted Ezra to lead the first song in there.
And did he?
Well, he got up there and tried it, and he said, I can't see. Said, is it somebody else to do this? Said, I just can't see. And Bobby, he got up there then. Back when Alfred Stewart taught the singing school, I've heard Dad tell it different times. He was, him and George Leach and Bill Rafty sung bass. And said, Doomy Parks, now that's Lovis' sister, that's Rondell's mother. Doomy Parks, Goldie Davis, and Damie Beck, they sung alto. Joe Stewart and Uncle Richard Eiler was a tenor. I've heard him tell that over and over, no telling it to times. And that was his happy days, though, I reckon.
He was a young man then.
Yeah, when his... Well, him and Conley both young. That's in 1910, and he was I believe he was born 1892.
Is he buried in this cemetery
mm-hmm.
here?
Yeah.
Well, once the singing schools, how did the singing schools work? I've never really understood how that happened.
Well, the man that taught the school, he'd have him a chart on the wall and have a pointer in his hand. And the notes was on there. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. And he'd point at each one of them. Tell what they was, and then he'd there's a place on there for the rest, and now that was the notes while ago I was down here.
Yes.
It's songs they get, and they you've seen the songs, haven't you? The rest and
no.
Dotted
oh,
eyes.
Yes.
Oh, it's a whole lot to it, a whole lot I don't know about.
Did it have music with it, or was it only voice?
His own voice.
So this man would stand up and teach people.
Yeah.
Now, were the people there from your church only, or anybody could come to the singing school?
Well, just anyone wanted to.
Wonder how often they met.
I guess it's each Sunday.
So your dad, for example, would be up there teaching, teaching the notes?
No, Alfred Stewart, he'd done that. He was one taught the singing school.
Before your dad?
Yeah, that's, Dad was going to the school, singing school. And he's one of the bass singers.
Okay, so Mr. Stewart was the teacher.
Mm-hmm, Alfred Stewart.
And was he a farmer?
I never did hear that said, but I'm pretty sure he was. He lived up on 505. Now, like you go out to Baystown, you don't know too much about the places out there, do you?
No, I know where Baystown is.
Yeah.
We'll have to take us a tour one of these days and you can point these things out. So,
Roy Morris, he taught singing school out here. Of course, that's been several years ago, and this since Alfred Stewart taught that one.
Then your dad, did he ever teach the singing school too?
I never did know of him teaching one, but someone was telling me he taught one down to Hickory one time.
Hmm.
And I never did know about that.
So the song leader wasn't the leader of the singing school?
Right? No, he wasn't a teacher of.
Where is Hickory, Uncle Sam?
Huh?
Where is Hickory?
It's about 3 miles on down the road from, go up here to the top of the hill, Mount Pleasant, turn to right, Hickory Cumberland Presbyterian Church.
Oh, okay.
The next church down that road is Mount Zion.
It's up on the hill. Uh-huh. I've been up there at the cemetery. Now, your dad taught singing school then from 1910, I mean not the singing school, the...
Went to leading the singing.
From 1910 until 1975?
Mm-hmm. I'll see about
that. Oh, see about your beans.
Buddy Rainey, don't you?
Yes.
They had the flu there, his daddy's one time. Buddy was a little boy. And his grandpa, Bill Rafter, was staying with them. And Wilma, Buddy's mama, she was down with the flu. But Bill, he was up right smart of the time. He done the most of cooking. Kate Oller, he done the house. And he said, Buddy said that he reckoned Grandpa could cook about as good as Mama could. But Mama's a whole lot nicer with her cooking than Grandpa.
Let me see. Well, Now, what else did your dad do at church? I mean, you told me how he led the singing. Was there anything else? Did they have practice during the week, or did he select the songs, or how did that work?
Well, they'd when they'd meet in there and they'd sing one song, someone call for another, and maybe it'd be him, or maybe it'd be somebody else. When there's a preaching, meeting, I think they usually sang three songs before the preacher preached. And he taught Sunday school up there for a long time.
Now, in those days, the church had a lot of members.
Mm-hmm.
And what did he teach? Was he teaching adults or children?
Yeah, adult.
Men?
Hmm?
Adult men or couples?
All of them, men and
everybody
women.
Everybody was together.
Oh, it used to be a lot of people in this community, and about any time you had something to do out there, the house would be full.
What kinds of things did the church have for social functions?
Didn't have nothing.
Well, they had the homecoming.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, draw people in, come in.
Well, on Mother's Day, always had a Mother's Day program ever since I could remember. And I always had to be in something.
Did they have a Father's Day?
No, never did have Father's
Day. That's interesting. They celebrated the mothers, but not the fathers.
I talked in a little while about having Father's Day. There's a little talk for a while, but it just never was nothing done about it. Then they used to have Thanksgiving out there.
Oh, I bet that was fun. What was that like, Uncle Sam?
Well, there's some of them, of course, now they just, for their lunch, they just bring what they fixed. And some of them had brought turkey out there in time. That mother raised turkeys. And I didn't know you were supposed to eat turkeys till I was grown.
Oh.
I reckon they had to sell them to get us some clothes.
So although you were raising them, you weren't eating turkey.
No, we went. And of course, a lot of pumpkin pie there.
That sounds good.
In fact, I could eat a pretty good chunk of one now.
Yes. I bet there was some good food.
Yeah,
so,
it was.
Was it actually a Thanksgiving celebration? Did it substitute for the family having Thanksgiving, or was it
everybody?
Everybody. What did they do on Mother's Day?
Well, the pastor would preach in the morning, and then in the afternoon they'd have a program, you know, the dialogues, and recitations, and it'd be some songs they'd sing in the afternoon. Like Mother's Day song, something about mother. I don't know, maybe I can think some more.
Let me ask you some stuff about your mom and dad. When did your mother and daddy marry?
I guess I've heard that said, but I don't remember.
All right,
now.
Well, that's okay. They married and they lived around here. Did they buy a farm, or were they living on the family farm?
No, the farm where us children was born, that was given to mother. That her daddy would have inherited that. But he got key on the coal bank when mother was 5 days old. And her grandpa had ground for each one of the children, and she was the only child, so she got her daddy's part. And Uncle Nacy Crowder, that's daddy, my dad's brother, he was going to get grandpa's place for taking care of him.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1931, he got sick and died. And so they give the place to dad to take care of them. And then we had to move up there in 1933. Grandpa got down sick and he died in 1933.
Grandpa Crowder.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to him?
Well, he was 85 years old.
Mm.
And he got up one night and he always said, of course now he was 85 years old and his mind got bad. And he's up one night and he fell and hit a chair. And his head was bloody. And we saw, man, I was there with him. But I didn't know nothing about it till next morning. Grandma woke me up and said, your grandpa got up and fell last night, and said, I washed the blood off his head best I could. And grandpa, he'd have to go to the barn with me to milk. He never did milk, I don't reckon, but and so he'd have to do the feeding of the cow.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to do that morning. So I guess he probably had a stroke and caused him to fall. And his mind never was too good after that.
Hmm.
He'd take a spell once in a while, he's going home, and he'd get out of the bed and one get a hold of one arm, one the other, and just walk him around, go out the room, out in the hall, on a little porch, back through the kitchen, back in the living room. The bed's in the living room. And houses then wasn't built like they are now. Wasn't no beds in the living room anymore. So Uncle Henry Eiler, he married Grandpa's daughter. He'd walk over one arm. Uncle Henry said, if he takes an ocean, go to barn. I can't do nothing with him. You just have to go. I heard Dad tell about him and Jack Eiler was sitting up with him one night. And so Grandpa was laying back there asleep. Dad and Jack decided they could turn chairs down, a straight chair down, and lay back on that, and lay their head on that and sleep. Dad, he said, long in the night sometime, of course now everybody was just dead to the world, losing sleep. Her Jack said, where are you going, Uncle Tom? He said, I'm going home. And he had all the quilts, everything.
My goodness.
And so Jack said, we can't go. We're going in the morning. We can't go now. He said, you boys get that feather bed and come on. I said, I've got to go home now. And Jack, he opened the hall door and said, you see how it is out there? Said, it's pouring down rain, just dark as it can be. Dad got up, and both of them together, talking him in the ocean, going back to bed.
Mm-mm-mm. Now,
and if it Of course, now they just put them in the nursing home. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't no such a thing as that then.
Well, now, when you were living with your grandparents, did your parents, you all moved up there? Or just the kids? Or how did that work?
Mother's mother was down there at the place where we all lived.
So your grandmother, grandmother Taylor, was living with you, with your mother?
Yeah, we was, and what, Grandpa Crowder and Grandma Crowder was up here. Grandpa Crowder bought this place up here. And that's in 1933 when we come up there.
To Grandpa Crowder's.
Uh-huh.
Now, did the whole family come then, or did
no,
you all split
up? No, Grandmother Taylor, she lived down there. She stayed down there till, well, she had a stroke and had to bring her up here.
Well, now, when she was living down at the home place, that's what I'm going to call it,
mm-hmm.
was your mother living down there with her?
No. One of us children would stay with her.
Oh, I see. One of the children would stay. So, actually, y'all were taking care of two sets of...
Two families.
Two families.
Yeah.
There's Dale.
Dale Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
He's hauling tobacco.
Oh.
Come in, Dale.
Hi, Dale.
Hello.
You?
Never expected to see you over here today.
Huh?
I never expected to see her over here today.
You never know where I'm going to show up.
You want to get on television?
On television?
I'm interviewing Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
I'm interviewing Uncle Sam.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll just be quiet. I'll go outside.
No,
you don't have to go anywhere.
Stay with
you can stay with us, or you, if you need to do something, I can turn this thing off and I'll talk.
I need to go out here and get some bikes out of the guess.
Are you in a hurry?
Not that big of a hurry. I'm afraid it's going to dry out, but I don't know.
Oh, well, I was going to say Sherry would move her car if you said.
Oh,
hurry.
It's in the way? Just move it.
I
had to borrow. That's
this
a borrow.
It's no trouble, but I need to get out there.
Oh, it's no trouble. Just move it wherever you need to.
It's a little bit dirty to get in the car.
It doesn't matter. That car is dirty. And it sometimes it sputters.
Well, mine does.
Okay. You can handle that, sure.
I'd better see if the apples they just about got dry a while ago.
Oh, well, we don't want to have burned up apples on the sand. Now, did your dad, did he always farm?
Well, ever since I can remember.
And what kind
but
of...
he was in Texas a little while, in oil fields, and I don't remember that.
Now, was that before he got married?
No, I believe he was married at that time, and he was in Whiting a little while.
Where is that?
Whiting, Indiana.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know. I don't know what years it was.
What did he do in Whiting?
Seemed like he worked at a refinery up there. I guess I've heard him say it. I think I heard him say it.
Okay, so then when he came back here, he was farming.
Uh-huh.
Now, did they have cows? What all did they do?
Well, they had cows. It's old cream. I remember that. And raised corn and hay. And raised some tobacco. But it wasn't, tobacco wasn't much of a price back then.
No, I know it wasn't. Now, when they sold the cream, was that to local people or did they send it out on the railroad? Or
put it on the railroad. Some they shipped to Sugar Creek, Louisville, and to Armour's. That's both of them was Louisville.
Now, once he got started with the singing, then did he keep on farming?
Mm-hmm, yeah.